That's taken from Zechariah 13:1. It says, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness." There is a fountain filled with blood. Great, great hymn. John 4. The word fountain and well are the same word in the scriptures. You know that? Exact same word. Fountain and well. I didn't know this until we had to dig a well years ago. I always had, we grew up on city water, you know. But we had to dig a well. The well digger, driller told me that it's not a pool of water down there, it's a river. What you're doing is you're tapping into running water. There's rivers of water running underground. And a real well, because if it were just a pool, it would be stagnant water. It wouldn't be living water, new water, running water. And this water, this well, this fountain, this represents Christ, who is the living water, the Word of God, the living Word. It's ever new, ever flowing your thirst to assuage. This whole story takes place at a well. You know the story. We've looked at it many times together. You've heard others preach it. Familiar story. The whole story takes place at a well. Water is mentioned over and over and over again. First several verses. This woman had come for water. The Lord told her to give him some water. And then he told her about living water. Christ is the living water. He is the water. Water is first mentioned in Genesis 1. Right? First few verses, over and over and over and over. Water, water, water. This is the only planet with life on it. Why? Because it's the only planet with water. Okay? Genesis 1. Right in the middle of the book, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Revelation 22 says, if any man thirst, let him come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This whole book begins in the middle and with water. It's all about Christ, the water of life. There is no life. He that hath the Son hath life, he said. The water. My prayer, my hope is the Lord will make someone thirsty this morning that he's never had this thirst for Christ. That's my hope, my prayer, that he will give this water of life. If not, I hope he'll refresh those who do. That's my hope. Water of life. We can't live without it. There is no life without water. Christ is the water of life. Christ is the living water. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath a need for Christ. Are you with me? He that needs Jesus Christ comes to the well. This was at a well. This woman came to this well. There were wells in every city. As of now, there are wells. Isaiah 12 talks about they shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's his church. It's where Christ is found. That's where Christ promised to be. And the water of life is preached. And who's thirsty? Amen, thirsts. Chapter 4 here in our text, verse 3, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. He spent so much time in Galilee. These little villages and towns, that's where he spent most of his time. Aren't you grateful? Aren't you thankful? He must needs go through Samaria. Not because it was the shortest route, but he must needs go through there because there's someone he needs to see. Not that he needs her, he doesn't need anything from her, but she needs him. She doesn't know it yet, but she's going to. She's just coming for water like every other day. He came for her. He must see this woman. He must bring her to himself. Our Lord said that in his prayer. Other sheep I have, John 10, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. This is a predestined appointment with her. She needs him but doesn't know him. She's going to find out. This is the Lord. This is her great shepherd. This is the one who came to seek and to save his lost sheep, who left the 99 for this one worthless one. This is her Lord. This is her God. This is her maker. This is her husband. This is her true husband, like Hosea was to Gomer. He came to marry her. He came to find her and marry her, because he had betrothed her to himself. And he's going to discover her lewdness to her. He's going to reveal to her it's not your lovers. They hadn't been your husbands at all. I am. Her maker was her husband. And here he comes for her. Isn't that what we hope and pray for our lost loved ones, our children, our daughters, our spouses? Verse 5 says he was weary. Verse 5, he came to this well that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. You know why this well was dug years ago? You know why this well was there? So Jesus Christ could come sit on it and meet this woman. The Lord predestined, purposed this well to be dug 1,000 years before this. It was at a well that Isaac's servant met, Abraham's servant met Rebekah. Remember, it was at a well. It was at a well that Jacob met Rachel. It was a well, and it's at this well that Jacob's Lord came for his bride. He had this well dug so he could come to sit upon it and wait on this woman. I thought of Isaiah 30. It says that, he said, there, your strength is to sit still. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. No. You ran on horses. You went. But it goes on to say, but the Lord will wait. He's going to be waiting to be gracious unto you. And that's what we're waiting on. That's what we're hoping. We're waiting on the Lord, watching and waiting at his gates and hoping that the Lord will bring one of our own to this well where he'll be waiting and show grace. Is that your hope? Is it?
But verse 6 says he was wearied. He wearied himself. He traveled, he walked everywhere except when he was on the ship. He wearied himself. He went. He walked thousands of miles. I see men and women bragging on all the running and all the mileage they do. It's pride. And look how far. Where'd you go? What'd you do it for? And I ran 100 miles. Why? Our Lord walked 100 miles. To do something for someone, you see.
Oh, my. He's able to save to the uttermost, and he did. He went great lengths. He wearied himself all his lifetime spent seeking and saving his lost loved ones. My. What a Lord. What a Savior. What salvation. What love. What mercy. What grace. My. For it cometh a woman. He's sitting on this well, and here comes a woman. Didn't our Lord say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me? Cometh a woman, just a woman, another poor, down and out, lost, confused, foolish, fickle, fallen, fallible woman, sinful woman. She's not a young maiden. She's been married 5 times. She's probably 50 or 60 years old. You know that? For some reason, I always pictured her as being younger. No. She's used up. She's old now.
people back then had harder lives, and they grew old fast. She'd been married 5 times. She'd been here and there, and she was run down, tired, worn, and her time is running out. And she's coming to this well once again, like she does every day, like she has done every day of her life. She's here, this poor, down and out, sinful woman is coming to this well like she does every day to do the same thing. Every day, day in and day out, come to the well, get water, go home, try to make peace, try to have a home, come back to the well, get water, go back and forth, and she's just going to die. Miserable. Lost. But God. Christ didn't need her. There are millions of others just like her. Just like her. Just another woman. Just another day, like every other, she comes to draw water out of this well. Oh, but today was the day of her salvation. She didn't know him. Isn't that what we hope? Isn't it, sister? We'd hope the Lord will bring our daughters, our spouses, and isn't that what we hope? That the Lord will bring someone to this well where Christ is, where He's promised to be, and He will speak to them. That's our hope. That's our prayer. Our Lord told that woman, go call your husband and bring him here. Didn't He? Why? He needs to hear me too. Do you believe this? Buddy, when she found out who he was, when he revealed himself to her, she ran home and told everybody. And you know she told that man she's living with. Come, see a man. Told everybody. Some did. If you believe this, you'll go home and tell your lost spouse. You go home and tell your lost children. You go home and tell your lost parents. You'll tell them, you need to come see a man. See Christ. Just another woman. She came to this well day in and day out. Draw water. He said in verse 13, and I believe he's sitting on the well, and I believe he pointed it down at the well. He said, this water, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. He's going to give this water to somebody. He giveth and giveth and giveth more grace. He delights to give. Everyone poor and needy, whoever is poor and needy, he's going to give. If you knew, he said to this woman, if you knew who it was that said to you, give me drink, you would ask and he would give. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask. Why aren't people saved? Not asking. Don't need saving. They're not thirsty. Right? You ever run into anybody that's thirsty for the truth? Have you? Are your children? No. Rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. We've got water and all the water we need. She'd come to this well and there it was. Water down in that well. Who gave her that water? Christ did. Who dug that well? Jacob? No, Christ did. Water of this world, this water represents, this water in this well represents everything that everyone lives for in this world. This water that people think they need to live on and people live for. People live for this, the water of this world, the things of this world. Live for it. Spend their whole life obtaining, but it won't satisfy. It'll never satisfy. Why do you keep wanting more and more? Because it leaves you thirsty. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All flesh is vanity. Things, people, relationships, possessions, houses and land will leave you empty. Why? Because you're going to lose it all. Lose every bit of it. Everything and every one we will lose if we don't go before them. There's nothing in this life, no one in this life, that will satisfy and leave you fulfilled.
This life is fleeting. Here I am approaching 70 years old. I still call Isabella Hannah because it's gone by that fast. All right? We took great pleasure in houses and this and that and the other, and then we had a daughter, and oh, what great pleasure we took it. Well, she grew up gone. A woman. She's approaching 40. Right, she has two children. Oh, we get to do it again. Grandchildren. Oh, they're better than the children. It's even better. This is wonderful. Isabella's 15 tomorrow. Paul, Paul, and me, Mom, are going to be out of the picture real soon. That's gone. Now what? One of these days, if I don't go first, I'm going to lose her. Or she me. Then what? Your health is going to be gone. Then what? The evil days come now. You have no pleasure in anything. Nothing, no, nothing in this world is going to give you any real joy. My mother's 98, almost, waiting to die. What is there to look forward to in this world? Nothing. Oh, but if you have this water of life in you, she's about to be a spring chicken. She has this spring in her called life, called Christ in her, the hope of glory. She's lost her husband. She's lost her children. She's lost her health. She's lost her youth. She's lost everything. No enjoyment. What does she live for? What does she look forward to? Well, if it's not coming here to sit, she's waiting to go home. Because Christ is in her. Christ is in her. Is that you? Oh, David said, my soul thirsteth for thee as in a dry and thirsty land. Like the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul for thee, O living God. When are you going to come? This woman, she heard our Lord say, talk about this living water that he said that I shall give. It'll be a wellspring springing up and unto everlasting life. Verse 15, she said, sir, give me this water. He just said, if you knew, you'd ask and he'd give you. He said, sir, give me. He's going to. He's true to his word. He's true to his promise. Give me this water. He's made her thirsty. He's made her need the water. He's made her like Hosea to Gomer. I'm going to lure her. I'm going to speak comfortably to her. I'm going to show her her need. I'm going to expose her to herself. And she's going to ask me. Sir, give me this water. And she said that I don't come back here again. I'm tired of coming to this well. Would you get whatever that water is you're talking about? I want it, and I don't want to come back here. I'm tired of this. I've looked for everything, for happiness, and all these men, and all these relationships, and everything in this world, and I can't find it. You say that this water will, I'll never thirst again. And what that means is, the Lord, you'll never thirst like you do physically, insatiably, without fulfillment. That you thirst. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. And when you taste of that grace that is Christ, when he gives you this water of life in you, you keep thirsting for it, but he fills it. He fulfills it. And you keep drinking of the same water, the gospel, and you keep drinking and drinking and drinking, and after a while, you don't want anything else, you see. But don't you want to do this? Don't you want to go? No, I've tried that. It just left me thirsty. This is the only thing. You know, I like other drinks, but you know, there's one liquid on planet Earth that'll really suffice your thirst. Water. And every other liquid has water in it. And that's by design. That's God's design. That's God's purpose to show us that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the thirst, hunger and thirst is so blessed. And those that find and taste and drink. Oh. Water. Never go tired of water. And if you'd have told me years ago I'd be drinking as much water as I am now, I drink more water now than ever. I need this more than ever. This gospel, so much more as I see the day approaching. How about you, old folks? A bunch of you out there. The day is approaching. What's that? The Lord's coming. In the meantime, He's sitting at wells, quenching thirsts. When this is over, this woman's going to drop her water pump. Oh, may the Lord fill us now. Lord Jesus, come and fill me now with this water. She said, give me to drink. And the disciples had gone away to buy meat. And that was, the Lord arranged that. Because when the Lord deals with someone, He's alone. He deals with them alone. Every one of you whom the Lord has spoken to, revealed Himself to you, I know that when you first heard the gospel, the preacher was speaking directly to you. I've heard that many times. You were speaking. There's nobody in that room but me today. And that's the way it's got to be. Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ came and wrestled with him and put him down on the ground. And said, what's your name? And he changed. He was a changed man from then on. Now he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Now whatever comes, it's going to be okay. Because the Lord, He gave His word to Jacob. He gave His word to Jacob. Meaning He gave His promise to Jacob. He gave His covenant to Jacob. He told Jacob, this is what I purpose to do for you. It's what you're going to do. But this is what I done and purpose to do, Jacob. And no matter what happens to you, you're mine. That's His word. That's His covenant. That's His mercy. That's His grace. That's the gospel. And the Lord comes and tells His people. Now, verse 9, this woman mistakenly said, "Why? How is it that you're a Jew and you ask me, drink of me?" He didn't ask her for a drink. Did he? Did he say, will you give me a drink? Question mark. Did he? No. He told her, give me a drink. And then she said, if you knew who it was that said to you, give me a drink, you'd ask him. No. He didn't come for water. He never did take a drink of this well. He came for her. This is the King of Glory. He doesn't ask anybody anything. He wasn't waiting on her, hoping that she'd accept him as her personal savior. No. He'd come to save her. He'd come for her. He purposed it. He hadn't come for water. He hadn't come to meet his own needs. He'd come to meet hers. He told her, give me to drink. And that was by design. See, our God doesn't ask things. He tells. He gives commandments, doesn't he? The king. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Didn't he? He didn't need her to give him water out of that well. But he told her, give me to drink. Said it nicely. He didn't thank her. Would you please? Thank you, if you will. That's not her well. It's his well. He didn't tell Simon Peter, "What? Can I get in your boat and cast out and do a little fishing?" No, he got in the boat. It was his boat. It was his lake. That was his person. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world, he said, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. God doesn't need our money, doesn't need us our help, anything. No. We need him. He's not thirsty. He doesn't say he's thirsty. She's thirsty, doesn't know it. She's got to know it. He doesn't need the water, she does. See that? I tell you, when he did thirst, one time he said it. One time Jesus Christ said, I thirst. Hanging on the cross, suffering the wrath of God in the fires of hell, which all of people that are outside of Christ will suffer. Like the rich man, I thirst. And nothing will meet that thirst. And Christ hung there, I thirst. And he gave him vinegar. And he said, it's finished. See, he thirsted then. And right now, no, he doesn't need that water. He is the water. She needs him. She needs him. If you knew, you would ask. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. He said, the Lord has given commandment to say, the Lord commandeth people everywhere to repent. God doesn't ask people to believe on him. God doesn't ask people to repent. He commands people. You understand me? He didn't ask her. She's an Arminian. People are born Arminian. God wants you to do this. God wants you to do that. God's trying to tell me anything. God's not trying to tell anybody anything. He said, I've spoken it. I'll do it. I've purposed it. I'll bring it to pass. I do the commanding here. The salvation is of the Lord. Nothing she had that he needed. Everything that he has and is, she needed. The man's got it all back. All back. And if you knew, he said, you would ask. He said, look at verse, don't you love this verse? He said in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is, the gift of God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the gift of God. He's the grace of God. He's the mercy of God. He's the love of God. He's the salvation of God. He's heaven. He's water. He's bread. He's light. He's everything. He's all. If you knew, you would ask. And he would give you himself. Himself. The living water. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. You didn't bring a bucket or a ladle. This well's deep. He didn't come for water. And his arm's not short. He's come for her. She doesn't know it. She said, are you greater than our father Jacob? I'm Jacob's God. She doesn't know it. People don't know it. Jesus is outside your door wanting in. You don't know him, do you? When you refer to him like that, it tells me you don't know him. Don't know him. Art thou greater? And he told her, he said, this water that I give, you'll never thirst. He said, sir, give me this water. And in verse 16, he said, go call thy husband. Come. Go call your husband and come hither. That's a command, wasn't it? And say, why don't you ask your husband if he'll come? And I'd really like to see him. Go call your husband and you come here. You bring him here. This is life. I'm talking life here. Go now and get him and come here. It's urgent. Well, she said, I have no husband. It's the only true thing she said. He said that. Only true thing you've said. And he said, you have no husband. You've had five husbands. And you're living with a man and outside of marriage now in sin before God. You're right. You have no husband. And brothers and sisters, as wonderful as marriage is, there are no marriages in heaven. No. We're going to look forward. If we know the Lord and our mate knows the Lord, we'll be glad to see them, but no more so than we see our brothers and sisters. It'll be the same relationship. Exact same relationship. We won't love them more than them. And there's no marriage in heaven. Why? Because everyone there is the bride.
and Christ is the groom. Christ is the bridegroom. He's the husband. Thy maker is thine husband.
And you know, this woman is so typical of so many, thinking they find fulfillment and a lasting relationship. She went through five husbands. Sad, isn't it? And she's living with a fella now. She said, I'm not going to get married again. We'll just try this out a while. That's not the way it works. No. So she said, sir, verse 19, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she's still holding on. She's still hanging on to some little vestige of pride. Our Lord had just exposed her. And a sinful, forlorn, she came there at noon when nobody comes at noon to get water. They come in the morning. Why did she come at noon? Because she didn't want to see anybody. Because she has a bad reputation all over town. But that's who the Lord came for, you see. But she's holding on to just a little bit of pride. Our fathers, my daddy was a Baptist. My daddy was a Baptist preacher. Big deal. What difference does that make? That's what she said. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain. You Jews say Jerusalem is. He said, woman, believe me. Believe me. The hour has come, verse 21. You'll neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. Most people don't know what they worship. And it's all form, it's all ceremony, it's all duty, it's all the same old. She's religious. She's religious. Living with a man outside of Mary. Married five times. And she's religious, though. She believes God. Believes in God. She doesn't know God. God's standing right in front of her. She's pleading her heritage, her religious heritage. Well, I've been a Baptist all my life. I've been a Methodist all my life. I went to church all my life. I'm a good Catholic. I'd never miss a Mass. Salvation is not in a place. Salvation and fulfillment's not in a thing, water of this world. Salvation is a person. Christ said, I'm the water. I'm the place. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the way. You're going to know the Father, you have to worship the Son. It's not a place. It's not a thing. It's a person. He said, you don't know what you worship. And he said that kindly. But he said, we know what we worship. Salvation's of the Jews. That's election, isn't it? That's sovereign election. Revelation. He gave his word to Jacob. He didn't give it to any other. It's by revelation. It's by sovereign election. And it's a certain way to worship God. A high priest, a tabernacle, a sacrifice. These three are one person. Jesus Christ. But the hour cometh, read with me now, and I'm closing. The hour cometh, verse 23, and now is when true worshipers worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. Spirit, from the heart. God looks on the heart. All this stuff going on in religion, all that people are going through, they're going through the motions, and coming back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and doing the same things over and over again. That's not worship. Why are you here? Why you come here? You come back to the same well again and again. Why? What are you here for? Huh? Worship? God looks on the heart. This is where worship is people that are been forgiven of their sins. People have shown mercy from the hands of a God that ought to kill them. People have tasted the grace that's the gospel of Christ. People have seen Christ crucified on their behalf. People have seen His glory, seen His honor, and they've come to worship Him. What are they doing in heaven right now? What are they doing? What's everybody doing in heaven? What are they saying? What are they doing? What's it all about? Why are they there? One person. They're worshiping
Him forever. Well, it starts here. These are the true worshipers, in spirit, from the heart, and in truth. What's truth? Christ is the truth. There is no worship of God apart from Christ. There's no knowledge of God apart from Christ. It's not truth. It's a lie. It's not all Christ. You hear me? Oh, how rare this thing is. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. Oh, that scripture in Luke that said the Lord says, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find anybody truly worshiping Him in spirit and truth? Well, I hope He finds me doing it. I hope I'm one. I want to be found in Him. Don't you? Oh, worship Him. Our covenant. God is spirit. And they that worship Him, He's not worship with men's hands. You can't drum up religion, faith. You can't do it. It's from the Word. Faith cometh by hearing the Word. And the Word is Christ. And it's when a man gets up and preaches the gospel of Christ, and if that living water is in you, you respond. Life responds. Yes. Keep on. Keep preaching Him. Lift Him up high now, preacher. Lift Him up high. I need to see Him. That's worship. They that worship Him must worship Him. They must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, the woman said, now she's, I believe she's hanging her head by now. She's listening. She's hearing the Word. You see, faith cometh by hearing. Salvation is to hear His voice. Salvation is to see His glory, hear His voice. Salvation is to know Him. This is life eternal, that they might know Him, the living and true God. Salvation in Christ. I think she's hanging her head now. He knows everything about me. Oh, He knows all my sins. All my failure, all my faults. He knows my thoughts afar off. He knows me. This is more than a prophet here. Oh, my. He's told me things that I don't understand. Things that I think she's hanging her head now. And all she can say is, I know Messiah is coming. It's called Christ. And when He comes, He's going to tell us all things. So you waited on Him. Is that who she's waiting on? Messiah. All things. Over in John's gospel, it says, when the Spirit of God comes, He'll reveal all things to you in Christ. And our Lord said unto her, I am. That's it. Right there. Reveal Himself to you. I that speak unto thee. Am. Opened her blind eyes. Opened her deaf ears. Broke her proud religious heart. Sinful heart. Convicted her of her sin. Showed her her hope of glory. He comes. He'll tell us all things. What did He tell her? He told her all things. What did He tell her? I am. Christ is all. Dropped a water bottle. Dropped her water bottle. I don't want that anymore. I don't need that anymore. She has a well springing up. She ran home. We're going to look at that next time together. Come see a man. All right, John, come lead us in a hymn, please.